This is the American Forces Vietnam Network.
Hardcore military.
Good morning.
Vietnam was going to be very different from the United States of America. Except for all the beer cans and the barbecue, it was.
Latai! Latai! Get the fuck out of the hole! Move!
What's up, everybody? This is Bay Podcast episode 69, a nice, well-rounded number. We have not that many people on this time, because we're saving ourselves for the big one, the Bay Podcast Come Correct This Holiday Special Podcast. With me is Stephen Pollack. So say what's up, Stephen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And we also have a special guest for a brand new segment that we're doing. We have Casey Caminiti.
Hi.
All right, so the special segment that we're going to be doing for this episode is highlighting our Black Friday deals, and the segment's named is Bay's Eye for the Bay Guy. And we have Casey, our deals expert here, talking about some of the deals we have posted going on right now until the first week of December. So Casey, you want to give us an intro of what you got for us? And
Yeah. So Broken Arrow Events actually has a lot going on for Black Friday. So you guys have deals going on now until December 6th, which is pretty long. Cyber Monday is the 2nd, so you'll have a few more days after that to keep shopping. There's a lot on the website, but I picked out 3 offers that I think are really great, especially for the holidays. If you know me, you know that I love a good beanie, and I love Bay beanies. So right now you can save 10% on hats during the Black Friday sale, and there are a bunch of new beanies with really cute designs on them. Like, you can get one with a mule little logo, which I think is really sweet. And then I think this next one is a really good gift idea for someone, or just for yourself, because I think they're cool. But you can save 22% on the set of 4 Vietnam souvenir glasses. I think they look really nice. They have like nice looking designs, and 22% off is a solid discount. And then the last one, I think, would be an easy stocking stuffer. It's also just, you'll always use it, probably. The koozies are on sale, and they are less than $10, which is great. And Liam and I used them the other day, and they fit cans of beer. They fit seltzers. And they fit bottles.
Yep.
So you're covered for all of your beverages. Keep them cool.
And they're made after smoke grenades and the canned grenades from the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Like, they look awesome. They're not like a boring koozie.
Yeah.
And it's koozie with a C, which I think is important to highlight.
And kind of dirty.
It is kind of.
So, okay, to validate what you just said, because obviously they're going to be like, oh, this is just this guy's wife talking about all these deals. You actually are a professional deal hunter as a profession.
I am. I manage all of the shopping content at USA Today. So I'm constantly looking for good deals, new products. And I was saying to Liam, like, sometimes, obviously, everyone wants to save money, but sometimes the discount doesn't have to be that big if it's a really cool product, if it's something new or, you know, exclusive. So I think there's a lot of, you know, different ways to find a good deal.
I mean, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of the bigger deals of this year are new products,
like, yeah,
between the koozies and the glasses.
Yeah.
Some of the hats that are new are on sale.
Yeah.
We have other new product as well that isn't on sale, but it's like brand new. Like, we had the sweaters.
I love those.
The sweaters are really nice.
The Beach Boy.
Yeah, the Beach Boy.
They're so cute. I want one of those, actually.
Well, when I get maybe I'll get some samples.
The new stuff doesn't usually go on sale, right? So
no,
this is because
I have to. You know what it is? It's tough. Like, well, I try to keep I'll be honest. I'll be as transparent as possible, especially with the deals. I try to keep it as profitable as possible, but also as affordable. Like, because I see other like similar entities that sell stuff, and they're like charging $50 for a sweatshirt. It's like crazy. Like,
no, it's insane.
And they're probably using the same thing we use, and I try to keep it somewhat, you know, profitable, but also like affordable for the people that buy the stuff. Because honestly, the people that buy the stuff are like people who are supporting, you know, that population, supporting our group. So.
I was going to say, whenever I wear my Broken Arrow Events beanie, it is such a conversation starter.
Yeah.
So like, obviously anyone listening is like supporting Bay.
Right.
So it is a really good way to kind of just like, I don't know, show your support a little more. And, you know, people will ask about it and they're like interested because it's always cool.
Right.
Designs.
Drew the other day said every piece of clothing he has on is Bay gear. He had a Bay hat on, he had a Bay sweatshirt, a Bay t-shirt.
We love a fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, even Steven, I know I've seen Steven rock the Bay sweatshirt. I think, Steven, you wore
your... Oh, I love it.
You wore that first one out, right? The first one you had out.
Yeah. That thing, I had it for a few years, honestly. And I mean... I grew and it shrunk a tiny bit and it started to fade. And you know, I was like, you know what? Got to get a new one. So yeah, no, they're good. I love them.
Got to retire it.
Yep.
Nice.
So, but, okay. So other deals we have going on as well, we have the, $20 off the, Pike Brother boots, which I think is a big one. And those boots are really nice. They are actually really nice boots, really well made. I mean, Steven, from what you saw of them, would you say they're probably top 3 reproductions right now, like out in the market?
Oh, without a doubt, like top 3 easily. I mean, not only do they look like new old stock boots, but they are solid too. You don't, I don't know, whenever I pick up a pair of like Rothko boots, and I know they're typically bottom of the barrel, they just feel so flimsy to me. The Pike Brothers is solid. Like, I know I'd have ankle support in that. They're really solid. I like them.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, even coming up, we have all the events coming out. Out of the 4 events that we have coming up for next year, 3 of them are posted. The last one that's coming up is Operation Green Lightning, which will be released on Black Friday. That's a $70 saving right there. The regular price is $200. They're on sale for $130 at a very limited stock, though. So, like, guys got to jump on right away. I remember Steven, I think it was like the first year you maybe went, which was what, Cochise, right?
The year after Oregon.
So those 2 events, I think were like our peak, right? Our peak attendance and just everything about it. Those tickets sold out in like 2 hours. It was insane.
I set my alarm for midnight.
Yeah.
And then I stayed up until, I think it was like 3 a.m. when they were finally released, or sometime later. But I sat on the website, which I know sounds like I'm totally brown-nosing it right now. But I have gotten up early every single time to buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Because they do sell out.
Yeah. They sell out at the low price. I mean, I want to say I'm releasing about 20 of them, you know, 10 on the lower tier, then 10 on the higher tier with the t-shirt. And then they'll be discounted again after that, which is like, they'll still be like $150. So it's $50 off the regular price. So it's good. And I think it's good value. Like, again, like circling back, like I don't want to make it too expensive, but also we got to make money to keep our operations.
The tickets for the Fit event are on sale too.
Yes.
Are there going to be, do you do special shirts for that every year?
So Fit... That price includes a t-shirt. I'm sorry. That price includes a custom sweatshirt.
So it's $65, $35 off.
Yes.
And it includes... I think those shirts are always so... I like them.
Yeah, the gray sweatshirt.
And everyone looks so, like,
legit. I love it.
When everyone's wearing them.
I I mean, what other event does that?
Yeah.
Like, has, like a training event? Like, what other group has a training event and everyone is wearing, like, the sweatshirt that they trained in?
It's those,
like,
photos, like, are always my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Then
so, yeah, shop the Black Friday Bay deals.
All right. I think that's it, Casey. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Casey's always trying to get the airtime, though, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I deserve it. No, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks,
Bye,
Casey.
Guys.
All right, so let's move on to the next topic, which is our YouTube content, Bay Cinema Night. It'll be November 27th, 2024, on our YouTube channel. The virtual doors open at 8:30, and the show will start at 9 p.m. Eastern. Pollack has some stake in this. He's piloting a brand new show called Shopping with Bay. Steven, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I found out about Bay and got into all of this stuff while working at a surplus store. And almost undoubtedly, if you're in this hobby, if you're listening to this podcast, you have bought a surplus item. So what we wanted to do, particularly Sabia and myself, is we wanted to introduce a series that's called Surplus Shopping with Bay, which takes you guys along with us through surplus stores, through shows, military conventions and events, and helps you guys pick out the good stuff for the Broken Arrow events and any other kind of non-kit you want to do, as well as showing off some of the things that you might not want to buy or things to avoid. So it's a really cool series. We've got our pilot episode coming up during the media night, and I'm excited for it because it's where I found out about Bay. It's starting right at the beginning for me. So hopefully you guys get something out of it and not laugh at us too hard for being awkward in a surplus shop.
Well, you know what I like about it, though? If you are, like, brand spanking new, right? Like, you're fresh. You've never done anything like this. You never collected military surplus or anything along those lines. You kind of get an idea of, like, what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and, like, Sabia, like, really illustrates how, like, you got to dig. You got to dig in the baskets. That's, like, kind of part of...
That's,
like,
the best part.
Yeah, yeah. And but that's, like... Well, that's like a heavy part in, like, surplus shopping. Even when you go to, like, antique stores that aren't really specialty in surplus, you got to dig around. You eventually learn to, like, figure out what to look for. So I think that I have high hopes for this series. I think it'll do well. And
yeah, absolutely. I hope the new guys like it too.
Yeah.
Because ultimately that's what it was aimed at. The people that might not know, or even if you do know, just pointers to look out for.
Right, right. Yeah. And then I think the repetition, you know, like, I think that's something that you guys were worried about. Like, you know, when you go to another surplus store, you're doing the same thing. But it's like, I think in this case, repetition is good.
You know, yes, absolutely.
Obviously not saying the same thing over and over again, but you're like, yeah, we're digging for, here we are digging for canteens. It could be displayed in a different way, and you're looking, you know, you're still looking for the same thing, but you're like, no, like, I'm looking for dates now. These are mixed in with LC1 stuff, and this is Alice, and this is LC1. This is different than M69, you know, like, so there'll be different scenarios, but you're still looking for the same thing. Like, that repetition, I think, will be good going, you know, in the long run.
Absolutely. I mean, and even with, like, the larger surplus stores around us in the Northeast, the turnover rate of the stuff that they have in there, I mean, like, the one that I used to work at and the one that we filmed it at, every single week we'd get a new, like, multi-barreled truck in. And every week there was something new. So I'm excited to go back, and if this pilot does well, we'll get going on all the other episodes. But, yeah, there's always going to be something new.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, I didn't even think of it that way. It's always a refresh, even if you go to the same store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I would pull stuff off the trucks there, I would literally pull the NOM stuff out and buy it. And I don't think anyone does that there now, but I'm just saying, like, it'll be a good one to come back to for sure.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay, so we have a few other things. We have Operation Kochi's Green, the movie, which it tells the story of what happened at our version of Operation Kochi's Green, but it uses footage from basically all the events leading up to, oh man, I think we did use some footage from Junction City. So I would, Junction City 2. So it's Junction City 2 all the way back to the first Junction City. So that was that, our first five years of doing this. So it's a good collection of videos, which is kind of cool because you have guys who like haven't been to our events in a few years, and they're in those films. Maybe it'll spark some interest for them to come back. And I'd love to see some of the guys that are in there. Like Pat Farrell is one that hasn't been to events in maybe 3 or 4 years. I'm trying to think who else is in there. Like there's some oldies in there. There's some vintage guys in that collection of footage. But I put it together very similar to Operation Junction City, the movie. So that's kind of like where I want to go with anything we do in the future. And I'm planning to get a lot of footage captured at Green Lightning. So that's
yeah, it's like our little time capsule.
Yeah, man. And it's such a good promo. You know, it's such a good thing to reach out and a good medium to put out there. Speaking of that, I demastered Operation Junction City, the movie. That was like our 40-minute long highlight reel from Junction City 2. That footage was amazing. Like I said, Joe DeFelice and John, they came down to our event and captured all this footage for us, and then they gave it to me basically to cut and edit into a movie. So yeah. So by what I say demastered, I basically took it and ran it through my old TV and filmed the video on my old vintage black and white TV. So it has like that tingy sound. It looks like it's been, you know, it's a production that was done in the period, you know, from the period. I mean, even other like techniques I learned since I did that movie, I've implemented back in, kind of making it look a little more like it's been run through a film reel. It's all added there. So it's worth the watch again. And hopefully like guys have watched it more than once. I know I have, like even like Ferrucci says, he'll go back and watch it every once in a while. So this is just another take on it. It might be kind of cool. It might be a failure. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, I've already seen it and the work that you did to it. The only thing that I could say is missing is the static from the TV. Like it looks spot on. I love it.
Oh yeah. Oh, like the noise.
Like the static electricity when you'd get close to it.
Oh,
like the old TVs. That's the only thing.
I guess we technically don't have any antenna signal going through it. Yeah, that's funny. I wonder if you could rub. You might be able to rub yourself. You know, rub your shirt on the screen. Pick up some static.
You can try. Only when I see myself. That's when I'll rub my shirt against it.
There you go. And then what else do we have? We had that. We had the Power Bay sweepstakes. Oh yeah, the Power Bay sweepstakes commercial. Which I know we've already posted that'll make an entrance. And then another thing I'm excited about showing, which I think people are either going to get a kick out of or they're going to hate, is the Little Drummer Boy video with Ferrucci. It's like, it's so dumb, but it's so good. I don't know. So as I'm sure anybody who's listening knows about the Bay Championship Wrestling. So we have Muscle Man Moochie Savage singing the Little Drummer Boy. It's basically the video version of the Little Drummer Boy song that he sang a couple years ago. I'm very interested to see the feedback on this, and is it worth doing it again? Steven, I don't know if you saw it. Have you seen it?
I can hear it in my head, but that might just be because I've spent so much time with Ferrucci.
Fair. All right, so I'd rather be surprised, but yeah, that's something. I tried making it look like an 80s production. I guess it's what Fruit and I emulate, like an 80s or early 90s wrestling federation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the style I did there. And then, yeah, it's about an hour's worth of content, a little bit over an hour. So hopefully we get the same success that we had when we premiered the Junction City movie. We had like 30 something people in that stream. So hopefully we'll get those numbers.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, so let's move on, Steven, to the Power Base Sweepstakes. Just a reminder that the Power Base Sweepstakes is live. And to qualify, we simplified it. All you need to do is spend $150 on the Bay website and you're entered. So every $150 you spend on the website in one order is an entry. So you can't do 75 on one order and then a month later spend 75 on another order. It doesn't count. It restarts every time you click book, you know, or pay or whatever it is. I think that'll be easily achieved on Black Friday when Green Lightning goes live. I know a lot of the staff guys are waiting for that exact thing. But the prize is a Tokyo Marui M16A1. And we have other stuff too. We have an M1 helmet, steel pot. I have the Vietnam War DVD set. And then a couple of t-shirts and other stuff like that. So like we'll expand the prize list as more people enter, if that makes sense.
I mean, already that's more prizes than last year, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually is. I mean, think about it, even that helmet, the helmet alone is a big item. Like if we just get the helmet, I almost think that would be enough.
Now, question for maybe the viewers out there too, is it just a steel pot or is it a kind of a set?
It's got a cover. It's got the liner. The liner isn't. The liner is actually a plastic new reproduction liner, but it fits the helmet fine. You won't know, but it's good to have as either a starter set or as a loaner for a guy. If a guy wins it and it's just an extra helmet, it's not a bad thing to have.
No, not at all. I'd love to have another one. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, and then moving on, we have the Bay Podcast, Come Christmas Holiday Special Podcast. So,
podcast.
That's our big one. Steve is coming down from Connecticut, so I want to say we'll have like five guys on. So that'll be good. It's always nice to have multiple people in person on a podcast. And we have a lot to talk about. Frucci and I did two brand new songs with Muscle Man Moochie Savage. The recording of the podcast will be December 14th. So I would imagine that the podcast will go live probably that Monday. So what is that, the 16th? And then we do, I'll usually do like Bay's bonus EP, which has also, some songs on there, and it gives me all the thanks. I'll say thanks to all the guys who helped out throughout the year. That usually comes out the week of Christmas, really. So Christmas is on a weird day. I think it's like Wednesday this year. So it'll probably be that week. I'll probably release that weekend. So things are coming up fast. I mean, think about Christmas is less than it's almost a month away, pretty much.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah. But
gotta start buying some koozies to give out.
Yeah. But I love that podcast because it kind of talks about everything we did the whole year. You know, like we kind of like reflect back on like, how did this year go? Are we growing? Or what can we do to improve? What's our plan for next year? Just everything. It's all accumulative of what we did for the whole year. And this year was a weird year for us because we did a lot of different things. I mean, we even think about it, our bread and butter, which is the event, right? What would you call it, Steve? Like our focus of every year is that big August event, and we completely changed it. So it'll be interesting to like kind of dissect how we think we did this year with that change.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's like a Bay meeting that you guys get to sit down on, fly on the wall.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All right. And then, stay tuned for that, guys. Obviously, the listeners who listen to this podcast, I would hope they're going to listen to the Come Christmas Holiday Special Podcast. But let's move on to We do this every year for Thanksgiving, and why be any different, even though there's two of us? So it's what the fellas are thankful for. Steven, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I would say I got two.
Go for it.
The first one being I am thankful for the innovation that has come with Bay in recent years. Like I'll shout out Stramp with his mortar. Just the level of attention to detail and new things that are coming to the events and being brought to the events really elevate the experience, not only for myself, but for the people that attend as well. But I will say my biggest thanks is especially for the August event this year, the hard chargers who came and who worked. The holes that we dug, the fortifications that we built could not have been done without a week's worth of backbreaking work from the guys that came. And I know it was a lot for some, but I'm truly thankful for those people that showed up and put in that hard effort.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said. I mean, that's actually a better thank than mine. But yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Like that, absolutely. Like those guys, it's always the same guys. And you know, you get every once in a while, you get a new guy that comes and either he sees the value and like, yeah, I got to come early to help these people out. Or it's like, oh, this is too much work. I'll show up on Thursday. You know, like, so yeah. Good call, Steven. Yeah, that's a big thing to be thankful for. My thankful thing for this year, it's a little more general than what Steven said, or a little more broad, is just the relationships that build. I'm thankful for that, not just for myself. I think like you see. I hate to say they're cliques, but you see like friendships like kind of come into fruition at the events. Like figure like Steven through Bay, you have gotten really close with Alex Tramp, you know, and you know, like even like Wiki and Strasburger and then Mueller, they got kind of a thing going. I mean, Ferrucci and I without Bay, I would have never met Ferrucci, you know.
He would have found his way to you.
Yeah, right. But I mean, even now, like think about it, as like an adult, like you don't go to school and make friends anymore. You don't like, yeah, like work, but like even work's different. Like it's like this is like for me, like this is my circle. You know, this is my circle of people now, and so I'm thankful to have that like channel to meet people. Really, like I look at like Cassidy, like that's a guy I talk to pretty often on like Facebook and Instagram, and it's somebody that like he's cool. He's a cool guy. So like I get to know him. I mean, there's even other dudes like Vince Ciro I've known for over 10 years now at this point from doing these events. So there's that. I guess I'm thankful for the relationships we made, the friends we've made along the way, you know?
That's the true bay.
That's right. All right. So here's another one. This is kind of something that we talked about every year at the holiday special, but we can start now with Steve and I. I'm sure we'll have more next month, but any self-improvements for next year? You want me to go first, Steven, since you went first for the thankful?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure. Okay. Mine's really easy. It's just to be in better shape for next year. For two reasons. A, just so I feel better. And B, so I'm not as smoked when it's time to do the actual thing, the actual event. And that's kind of related to something that we're going to prove on that we can talk and touch more on with the holiday podcast, and it probably as a theme, but not to like smoke the staff. So self-improvements for me, but also self-improvements for everybody else, that we got to take some measures not to smoke ourselves and gas ourselves and kill ourselves before the actual event starts. All right, Steven, what do you got? Unless you would have anything to add to my self-improvement.
My first thought was the physical shape, but a self-improvement that I want to personally undertake, especially because my role next year in a platoon level, I want to improve the pre-event communication for the squads that are under me. I did try that with my own squad this year, and I thought that having so much pre-event communication helped us work out a lot of details and a lot of problems that could have happened. We kind of caught it ahead of time. And I think having that on a broader scale will not only enhance the experience for the attendee, but it'll make it better overall for everyone to not have to worry about so much when you get to the gate because you've already talked about it and settled it beforehand. That's something that I personally want to do.
That's a good point there. You know, so I was involved in, by say involved, is I was just in a lot of the squad chats. And considering that you had a lot of new guys, and I want to say you probably had the most amount of new guys, when it came time for the event, you guys were pretty squared away. And that chat definitely made the difference.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. I know I bugged them. I definitely was a lot with it. But, I mean, again, we all got to talk and know each other before step off, which was good.
I mean, you're doing your job. That's it.
Yep. So, that's what butter bars are for.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good self-improvement. And honestly, every squad leader and platoon leader should really follow suit, because even like when it comes to the actual like individual and the unit they're in, like that to me as the company commander, yeah, like I should have my hand in and see what's going on, but like it's not my job to like get that close. Like, you know, like that's the squad leader's job, but it's not
right.
It's not my role to get, I guess, get in there with like a microscope. Like, obviously, like, yeah, I'm going to help guys out. They're going to ask me questions. Sure. But like their direct leadership is what should really be preparing them individually for the big event. So that's a good one, Steven. All right. So here's a good topic for Steven, because he's starring in this is the 2025 Baneys. And Polak will be hosting for the second time. I thought he did an amazing job last year. I think the shtick with Ferrucci kind of worked. I don't know if
it did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know if we do it again this year. The good thing about Ferrucci is he's always available. So like if we wanted to do it, he's in. If we don't, he's fine with that, and we can have him do something else. But definitely, I think you hosting it as the main guy, definitely for this year, is the way to go.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll make you do a musical number again. I don't know if you want to do that.
That's what I was thinking of. I wonder how many more Disney songs we can rip off.
I know. I haven't really thought about the show itself, but I've been working on the nomination process. I know Steven's in the chat where I'm like sharing stats of like, all right, who's got the most nominations and never a win? Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, you know, interesting stat. So this year has I think six more categories to win, but it actually has 15 less nominations. So that means less people have been getting nominated for the multitude of. So we're actually like, I guess, making the awards a little more exclusive.
It's a tighter race.
Right. So like instead of having like 10 guys for one category, we're having like four or five, you know. So it's really interesting. It's actually interesting. I mean, some categories only have two people so far, like nominated. So that nomination is going to go probably until, oh man, I would probably say the first week of December. And then we'll start the voting process. And the voting process is done by what we call the Baycademy, which is basically the 20 or 30 guys on the Bay team. And they will go through and vote for the winners. I know it's tough. And Steven, like you can emphasize or embellish on this too. Is like, do you think it appears somewhat biased? Because sometimes like you have guys like it's usually Bay staff, they're nominated like a lot. Like I think Sabia this year is nominated for 9 different things. And you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I was nominated for 8 things. And I'm looking back, I'm like, but you know something? We're the ones who do all the shit. Like
I was gonna say that exact thing. The people that are nominated make themselves present, right. I guess. And the people that aren't staff or part of the Bay team on that list have made themselves present. So it's an honor just to make it onto the list in general.
And think about this, Steven. Usually the guys who are nominated often, and if they aren't staff, the next year they usually are added to staff.
Yeah, very true.
Like, I'm looking at, I'm actually opening up the nominations list right here. So, like, even like you, Steven, this year you have 7 nominations.
Nice. I'll take it.
Yeah. But think about it, you went down from 11, so you must have been slacking off, man.
That's my job, man. Once I reach that level, I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, think about it, like, but there's like awards like I'll never win. So even like if I'm like up for something, it's like, yeah, I'm never going to win some few of the things that, or I'm never going to be nominated for a few things. So it kind of evens out. But like,
we're making the race tighter anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm looking at the list here. We have 114 nominations. And if my math is right, we have almost 50 different people nominated this year.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's, yeah.
That's a lot. And so think about it. And staff-wise, it's not that, you know, like, if I'm looking through staff right here real quick, like, obviously the leader count of nominees are mostly staff. But you have a guy like Cassidy, he's got three nominations. You got...
That's more than the average. Average is 2.2 or whatever.
Yep. You get Joe Cresciamano from, you know, he was one of the Pavin guys.
I was on Pavin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's up for 3.
There you go.
Yep.
He's a hard charger.
Yep. Johnny Bullfrog's up for 2. Aiden Green's up for 2. Mm-hmm. You guys are up for 2 awards. So. Yeah, I'm interested to see. I just love the data behind it all too. Like, I have like a whole spreadsheet, so it's kind of fun to like look at and like okay, who's won the most nice guy of the year? You know, I know. I think you won that last year.
I did. And I remember that. Yeah. I still cringe at my acceptance speech.
Yeah, well, it's something a nice guy would say.
Yeah.
But you're nominated for that again. Michael Mueller's nominated. It's actually a tight. There's a few like really tight races here. Like think about it. Nice guy of the year is you, Mueller, and Stram. That's tough. Like I don't know who's gonna win that one. You know, and
might as well just rock paper scissors it.
Yeah. Even Gas.
I'll be the nice guy and I'll step aside.
No,
I'll let them win.
Nice guys finish last, man. The nicest
who's up for Gasman?
Gasman.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Gasman. We have Sabia, me, which I think was nominated by Wiki. So in return, I nominated Wiki back, and Jeremy Valen. So, like, but I mean, like, you think about it, that's like the 4 assholes who have just been farting the entire event. So,
yeah.
Snore of the year. It's funny how Snore of the year is kind of tied into Gasman of the year. Snore of the year is Sabia, Wiki, and Valen. I did not make Snore of the year.
But I That's made a win right
the
there.
Yeah, right? I made Egghead of the year, though.
Hmm.
I think you are, too. You're nominated for Egghead as well. It's all the nerdy smart guys.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. I don't know, it's fun. So, yeah, we have... We have a few new awards. We have we originally were going to get rid of Millshitter of the Year and replace it with Hard Charger of the Year. And then when I started looking at the nominations, I was like, you know, some of these guys, it's not Hard Charger to me is like that aggressive go-getter type that's working hard and puts a shift in, you know, digging holes or whatever, right? So we have that's the Hard Charger. Mm-hmm. That's what it's always been for us. The Mill Shitter is basically our term for someone who tries hard, right? Who wants to get kills and that kind of
thing. Oh, yeah.
So we split that. Mm-hmm. We split Hard Charger back to being Hard Charger for what we think it is, and then Mill Shitter for what we call it. So that's why that's technically a new category. We have Comedian of the Year. And then we have Photographer of the Year. Boomer of the Year is retired. No pun intended there, but also pun intended that it's retired. Because at that point, I think like, unfortunately, with my dad gone, there's only one boomer. It's Jim. So he wins, you know, it's
by default.
Right. So there's not much of a pool there anymore. So yeah, I'm excited to go through it. It's always fun for me to edit every year. So, stay tuned for that. I will be making a graphic of the nominees and, of, you know, if you are nominated, that's where you're going to find out if you're nominated. I know last year on New Year's, and I think the year before, we did like a red carpet interview. That was kind of fun to record. Maybe I'll do that depending on if I'm actually throwing a New Year's party. But stay tuned for stuff regarding the BAMEs, because it's always a fun time for us. All right, we have one last item to talk about. So as of this recording, it's basically the 1 year anniversary of Wizard, that's my dad, passing away. So the last Broken Arrow event staff meeting, we kind of like came up with this idea to have a scholarship fund for brand new guys. And we're calling it the Wizard First Termer Scholarship Fund. And what it's going to be is Bay staff is going to select one person who's attending the big August event for the first time. And they'll be awarded, I guess, a stipend. Actually, stipend is not the correct word, because it's not going to be like we're paying you to get stuff. It's basically going to be a $50 award worth of gear, whether it's gear you need for your impression or Bay gear, like a Bay, like figure, like a Bay package, which would have like the carabiner, a tourniquet, maybe C-Rap boxes, stuff like that. Like, so if you're a new guy and you have all the stuff you need, we'll be like, okay, cool, we'll give you stuff that like you can add extra to your kit. The requirements are, it's pretty simple. It's, you got to be registered for Operation Green Lightning. You must be attending for the first time. Qualified participants can be either USGI or PAVN, so keep that in mind, PAVN. And the drawing will be done sometime in June. So, Stephen, what do you think? Is this something that hopefully it'll entice the new guys to attend?
Yeah, I absolutely love this idea. I think even if you come 100% correct your first year, just the things that we're including, like the tourniquet and stuff, where you can only buy it at a Bay event, that'll be a great add-on. It's a little supply drop regardless of where you are in your impression. Right. I think it's a great idea, and Wizard would have loved it.
Yeah, because he was always helping out new guys. He was always lending his rifle. He always had loaner gear ready for people, for new people to attend. So I figured, in the spirit of what he would have wanted to do, that's what we're doing. Under his name. So it's called the Wizard First Termer Scholarship Fund. I guess it's live now in a sense, but we'll do a more formal post sometime after Thanksgiving, just because we have so much going on with the Black Friday stuff. So
the tickets have to drop anyway.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be live for that, and then in the future we'll have the Battle Buddy program, which we can talk about probably in 2025. We'll probably talk about that in January or February when that goes live. But we got a lot going on. Like, think about it, Stephen. Like, we don't stop, man. Like, we didn't really, like, after August, we usually take a break. We really didn't. And that to me is like telling that next year is going to be a good year, because it's like the excitement's there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm working on this event every day. So
yeah, with all the innovation we did last year, I love to see that energy, even though we're going back to our roots. As you said, we're still coming up with new things daily for 2025.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I honestly, this podcast episode was like a lot of news. It wasn't really an opinion based thing, right? The next month's podcast, the Bay podcast, Come Correct Miss Holiday special podcast, that's more of like open discussion and stuff like that, which I think is always good for a podcast. But this one is good. We kept it about under an hour. I think it's almost 40 minutes, 45 minutes, which is pretty good. But I think that's it, Stephen. What do you think? I think we can end it on this.
Yeah, I think we got a lot out. I'm ready for a nap.
I love it. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I really appreciate everyone tuning in and giving the podcast a listen. If you've listened to this podcast, let me know somewhere. Just be like, tag me on Discord, tag me on Facebook, message me on Instagram. Hey, Liam, I listened to the podcast. That's all I need. That's all I need, just to give me that validation that I know people are out there listening. The numbers aren't bad. I've been checking the numbers of the listener and the viewership. It's not bad. I would like it to be better, obviously. So thanks for listening, guys. Take care.
If you don't come correct, I'm gonna find you.